Damn.
You missed that one. You missed that one. Someone must have worked last night.
Yes. As I drink my coffee.
That's right.
Black Rifle Coffee. Thank you very much.
Nice. Going to be traded publicly here pretty soon.
Yeah, they are.
Friends, welcome back to another episode of Cops Don't Like Donuts. I'm here with my co-host, Tom Costello.
That's me.
And as always, I am Bill Dempsey. Tom, we are proud to say that this entire podcast, Bill and Tom Productions, and I think pretty much our souls are being brought to you by Spartan Building Supply. Spartan Building Supplies for all your roofing and siding needs. If you guys need something for anything like that, windows, doors, any type of tools, you can get a hold of Roger. Spartan Building Supplies in Warren, Michigan at 586-778-0180. And they go where you are. So if you need something, they will get it to you. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Roger.
Tom, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, so, we got dot, dot, dot. Update.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking, I've been kind of watching, stalking our buddy Jim Stroud, and which, you know, we'll have him on the show here pretty soon. And he does an update show. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know what? That's not like a bad idea. Yeah, let's do
Dave,
it.
So, Dave Portnoy does emergency press conferences. We're going to do one of those pretty soon.
I like that. Oh, that'd be awesome. Awesome. All right. So we're going to do that. So what we want to do today, ladies and gentlemen, we want to just kind of go back over some of the old shows, some of the topics that maybe had been a little open-ended, and we just want to go back, revisit them, and let you know where they stand as of right now. So
yeah,
I went back down in the show list, Tom, and the first one was that it was a show quite a while ago, and it was that Fourth Amendment Supreme Court case that was being heard out of California.
Right.
Remember they won drunk driving?
The officer, correct. The officer followed the alleged drunk driver into his house and
garage.
An arrest. Mm-hmm. Garage, excuse me, attached garage. And effected the arrest and they argued it, saying that since it was a misdemeanor, it did not provide exigent circumstances, which I can't say. Sober. So it's the worst exigent word in the world. Yeah.
Exigent.
Really important circumstances. So they said, unlike felonies, a misdemeanor does not qualify for that. And pretty much as suspected, they did agree. The Supreme Court actually did agree, which I find amazing. Just these little small little cases, not saying that it's necessarily small to them, but in the grand scheme of things, small little case being heard by the United States Supreme Court, biggest court in the land, and they decide that, yes, that's correct. We're going to hold steadfast saying that inherently a misdemeanor does not qualify for exigent
emergency circumstances.
Emergency circumstances.
I'll have it for you. Exigent.
Yeah, I need another sip of coffee.
Well, and so, and the important thing, and I think this is where Tom's going, and if not, it is now, is that people talk about these crazy radicals get on here and they, you know, they rattle their sabers and they come up with all this wackadoodle stuff about the police or this, we're fascists, we're, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. And the point Tom's making is that even the smallest of detail. So this guy was right behind a drunk driving suspect, right behind him as his garage door was closing and the officer put his foot in the sensor and it went back up and he arrested him. Even that smallest of incident, the Supreme Court is saying, no, officer, you can't do that without a warrant. In other words, they kind of gave him a little bit of a pee-pee spanking and said, no, that's not the way it works, yeah, officer. This is not communist Russia. This isn't China. So they talk about all that garbage about officers, and they have no idea how strictly and closely we are regulated by the law, and we follow it. The officer was in the heat of the moment, and he was.
And they do favor us a lot in certain ways, but like you said, they look over us. There are checks and balances. They quoted in their decision, they quoted a 1948 case, McDonald versus the United States, saying that if an officer undertakes to act as his own magistrate, he ought to be in position to justify it by pointing to some real immediate and serious consequences if he postponed action to get a warrant. So, in other words, there better be something really, really important for you to chase after this person. If it's serious, if it's a misdemeanor, boy, you better be getting the warrant. An important fact. Again, quoting, it's an important factor to be considered when determining whether any emergency exists. Is the gravity of underlying offense for the arrest that's being made? So, they're telling us again. Get your ducks in a row, and there better be something emergent if you're arresting for a misdemeanor.
There was multiple reasons that they decided that way, but like you just pointed out, one of them was a case from 1948, and it still stands today, Tom. That just kind of shows you how steadfast they are with this is the way it was founded. This is what's right, and that's what we're going to stick with. People don't understand it, but that they really do. They adjudicate these things based on the law, the Constitution, and they take the feeling and emotion out of it. I can't praise them as all judges, but especially those chief justices on the Supreme Court, because they literally take emotion out of the equation and just say, this is what was written and this is how it's supposed to be. So I applaud them big time.
Good decision.
So we got that one. It was, and like you said, we kind of knew where it was going to go, but you never know. The next one was our show on defunding the police. And this is a big one. So we had an interesting election here on the 2nd, I believe was election day. Kind of a big wave is coming. People are kind of voting a little more conservative now since the last person who, possibly sits in the Oval Office. I'm not sure he knows where he's at, but he is there sometimes. Ever since then, I think people are waking up a little more. And I do have to use some caution with that. I'm just saying that the regime as it stands now is a debacle. It's a mess. The entire Democratic Party is a mess. So
it's a mess.
Being a conservative or a liberal is not the point here. The point is you have to look at it objectively, like the Supreme Court, and say, I did vote for this, or even if you didn't because you'd already passed away, even if you did vote for it, you have to kind of say, I think I pulled the wrong lever on this one.
I was looking, doing some, pre-production research, and there are people changing their sort of ways, even in San Francisco, California. There hasn't been a Republican there since before 1964. And there is a movement saying this isn't right. And I think we were talking earlier, it doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. It's just not right. You know what I mean?
Right. Red, right.
Blue. We were talking about the very last podcast. There's no common sense. Let's get the common sense back, please. Can we?
Yep.
Please.
Yep. If it comes across, it's a good law, it's a good rule, it's a good thing for the country and its people, I don't care which side of the aisle, which party presented it, I'd vote for it. Based on common sense, it's a good thing. There's no garbage in it. It's good. I don't care who presents it. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to get back to that. So, the last one, Virginia, they voted in a red governor, which I just watched. And we'll talk about MSM a little bit here in a minute, but their rebuttals to those election results were absolutely hilarious. They voted in the Republican governor, and his lieutenant governor is a black female, former Marine, just outstanding lady. And literally, I think it was MSNBC, they said that the vote in Virginia was racist. Tom, it's documented on, I can't make this up. And then the lieutenant governor, she's given a few speeches since then, and she just said, please have me on these shows. I'm not going to say the names of the news people, but please, I want to come on the show and talk to you about you calling this election racist. So it's just unbelievable. Well, the defund the police movement, and I was going there with the votes because in this same election, they also went to the people in Minneapolis, the epicenter, the George Floyd debacle that went down over there.
Yes.
Minneapolis. They voted to not defund the police, period.
I know.
Zero. I know. They voted to remove zero from their budget.
Yeah. Bill, I mean, come on. All these people, like we talk about these SpongeBob pitchforks and torches and blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're right. You guys have spoken. We're going to put it out there because we need this democratic decision-making, not because everybody's thumping on the drums, but we need to make a decision. Here we go. Here it is. Vote. Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Well, I think you coined it perfectly, Tom. It was a few shows ago about defunding the police. And you said, I'm going to paraphrase, it's frustrating. It's this little tiny group of squeaky wheels.
Yeah, and they really cause frustrating.
All this ruckus. And then the little squeaky wheels, they're out there rioting, destroying, vandalizing, murdering.
Protesting.
Protesting. We're using common sense again, remember? Yeah. Rioting.
I'm sorry. I was reading.
Yep. So then the limp noodle politicians say, oh my gosh, this is what the people want. I'm going to do these towers of jello, right? I'm going to do what the people want. So they do these knee-jerk reactions. They defund the police in a lot of places. And then when they go to the polls, which actually show the greater cross-section of their voter base, like Minneapolis.
The actual people. Not just mainstream media, right?
Yeah, and not just this little group of knuckleheads that have nothing better to do but go out and steal a bunch of stuff and burn buildings down in their own neighborhood. Durr. So, sorry, that's yours, Tom. I didn't mean to take that from you. So they go to the people in a vote, and the people are like, no, are you insane? I don't want to defund them. As a matter of fact, I want you to add more to their budget. I need more officers in my neighborhood. And that is coming. Those are polls. I'll get them and quote them if you need me to. Those are polls from people who live in the inner cities, and they're saying, I want more police in my neighborhood.
Right.
They're not afraid of the police. They want the police. Bad actions by anybody always needs to be addressed and taken care of. I 100% agree on that. And you know, both you and I would never, ever, ever condone a bad action by an officer. If somebody ever brings us a situation and we can fairly evaluate it, I hate armchair quarterbacks, but with multiple videos and once everything's been put out to the public, written statements, and we can evaluate it and we go, yeah, that officer should get in trouble. That was bad. Mm-hmm. We would do that. We would never try and cover it up and say, well, you know, it has happened.
We have done that.
Mm-hmm. And we call it out. Right. So Minneapolis people have spoken. They do not want to defund at all. Austin, Texas defunded less than a year ago. They are now scrambling to refund. Refund? Yeah, to add more money. Yeah, then. So less than a year. Yeah, their crime rates went through the roof in Austin, Texas, and now they're like, oh my gosh, we need more police officers. Which, Tom, you know, in law enforcement, firefighting, once you get rid of something, it's almost gone permanently. Personnel is a little bit different. About
that for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So now you say, oh, we'll just put the money back. No, city leaders. It doesn't work that way. You have to put that money back plus. Mm-hmm. Put that money back plus, because now you don't just say, oh, well, just hire an officer. And I think people, you know, they think that just hire an officer. Tom, and you know better than I do, it's majorly expensive to hire one officer,
let alone just one.
Yeah, the costs are astronomical, and let alone 300 or 400. Anyway, it's staggering.
Right.
Yeah. So Seattle, another, den of liberalism. The mayor has asked/now he's begging city council for another $7.5 million to hire more officers. And Tom, this is where I was going with that. The $7.5 million is just to recruit and hire officers.
Yeah. Except in that one little four-block area. They're probably not going to have anybody there, right?
Yeah. How'd that work out for you, idiots?
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Good. More for us.
Yeah. So, Mayor Lightfoot, your favorite, Tom.
Oh, I love her.
Chicago.
Chicago.
She is proposing to increase her police budget. I would love, I'm not going to do the cheering or clapping because it's.
No.
It's kind of your own making there, Mayor Lightfoot. However, she is increasing the budget. But since 2019, their murder rate has risen 60%. So, yeah, what do you do? Atlanta, which I thought was awesome. They got rid of, what was it, the baseball. They didn't have.
The World Series?
No, no. Yeah. Oh, you ruined it, Tom. What did they get? They booted, what was that, the national championship game or something because they were protesting and then.
Atlanta, oh, that's right.
Totally, and then Atlanta went to the World Series, so they could have them anyway.
Hee-haw!
So, Atlanta, they are requesting a 7% increase in the police budget. Now, you know, I know, though, and here's people need to understand, oh, it's going up. Yes, except they did cut more than that originally.
Right.
Some of these places, yes, they are getting back, but... Dude, it's so – you get so far behind the eight ball. So you lost that $24 million that we're talking about here in a second. One of the cities was $24 million. Now they're asking for $29 million back. But for those years you were gone, you took out that seven or whatever it is, $8 million. You're now behind that far, plus the increases you should have made. So it's the amount that they're behind really is exponential is the point, I guess. Sorry, I didn't mean to babble on there so long for that. And then New York. New York is speaking up as well. The voters are starting to tell these morons that they want more police. So a Democrat that did very well in the primaries, a Democrat candidate for mayor, and he's running on a tough on crime election platform. His thing is, I'm tough. He's a Democrat. I'm tough on crime. And he won the primary. So the voters are saying, listen, man, you guys are... You're bending to the will of a couple of morons with torches and pitchforks out in the streets, and we're sick of it. We want to be able to walk to work in downtown Manhattan and not get mugged. And I'm using mugged lightly because what happens is a lot worse than just a mugging. New York, De Blasio, like you said, not his real name. He is now backpedaling big time, and he has promised to restore the $92 million that he had allocated for a new precinct to increase patrols in that area. So he's backpedaling again, just a tower of jello. Baltimore, they're the ones that had slashed $22 million, and now they're asking for $27 million increase. Mm-hmm. So that they now have to, you know, spend that $5 million trying to get back what they lost, which is just a complete misappropriation of tax dollars. It's a wasted, that $5 million is wasted, and they're going to need more. That's the point, Tom. That $5 million difference that puts them back to what they were at, but they're going to need more on top of that because they lost people. So yeah, it's not like
I totally understand. And the worst, and like you said, it's got to be get back plus more, which they're doing, and it's terrible, but. It's what the people want. They're even saying, you shouldn't have taken it in the first place. Sure, let's get some more money. Let's do it.
Crazy. It's unbelievable. Oakland, California. And the reason I use these is because these are all the places. There's 20 of them that are listed. And, at least, I think it was 12. Don't quote me. I think it was 12 that have already had to do the refund. The police. Uh-huh. So
what do you mean? What do you mean by 20 of them?
20 cities, major cities that cut. They did the,
okay.
Oh, what's the squeaky wheel want? Okay, yeah, let's cut millions. Oakland, California, their crime rate skyrocketed. They cut $29 million out of their budget. Tom, I can't imagine that. I don't understand those numbers. But almost immediately they realized, uh-oh, we done messed up. And they had to restore $3.3 million almost immediately. And now they're asking for another $24 million to try and put a stop to the mess that they created in the first place. So there's right. Those poor guys are still down like $2.7 million, which that was a year or two ago. So with the money that you should have increased it, they're probably down, just some rough math, $3.5 to $4 million down from where they should have been. So they're hurting. They're hurting. But that resurgence, that reboot that you and I have talked about, it's making its way back into this country, and people are the politicians are starting to listen to the masses.
And here comes the inevitable argument. They're going to have to repurpose those funds. They're going to have to put those funds back in, right, to hire more police. Who's going to apply?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
We've talked about it. It's inside of you. But it's a small portion of those who really, regardless, really, really want to. You need some recruitment, you know?
Like you said, you know, and we... Our firsthand knowledge is ourselves, obviously, and we both have that. It's an innate sense of serving. I know both of us, we've talked about this off camera a million times. It's who we are. Those are the people that are going to do the job. And you mentioned that in a previous podcast. Those people are going to answer that calling that is within them regardless. But the other ones, yeah, it's a mess. But we'll talk about that here in a second. Sure. Speaking of refunding, ladies and gentlemen, if you are enjoying the show, you want to support us, you can do that by heading over to buymeacoffee.com/Bill and Tom. Buy us a coffee, become a friend of the show, and Tom and I would certainly appreciate it. So thank you very much. Tom, the next one I want to talk about, and I guess this one could be pretty quick, is the Texas concealed carry law. Governor Abbott proposed it.
Yeah.
So if you remember that podcast we did, said, yep, there's no more licensing requirement to carry a pistol in the state of Texas. Uh-huh. So, and, you know, obviously you still have to be able to carry and own a handgun in the state of Texas. And you and I talked about it's a great concept, but being CPL instructors ourselves, we really think there should be that basic training course, at least that that certification to say that, yeah, at least I've been explained the laws. And we talked about the inherent problems to the officers. How do they approach somebody?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the update to that show is that it did pass. It went into effect September 1.
Okay.
Yep. Nothing major has happened, obviously. But before it went out, the lawmakers did work with Governor Abbott. His state legislatures worked with him, and they did refine the bill a little bit before he signed it. So, and these are the things that we had kind of talked about. This is a good thing. So in the law now, after they kind of polished it, officers can question someone based on the fact that they're carrying a weapon. So now that gives an officer that, I don't want to go as far as probable cause, but it gives them a legitimate reason, a lawful reason to approach you and say, hi, sir and or ma'am, you're carrying a firearm. Are you eligible to do that? So it gives them that right. And then they did, and we talked about this. It seems like a no-brainer, but we kind of looked at it like, why do criminals care? But they did enhance the penalties if you violate that carry law by being a felon or a domestic violence.
Really?
Someone convicted. Yeah. So they did enhance the penalties for those. So if you get caught violating that carry policy, yeah. But then you got.
I did not know that one. I did not look that one up. Very nice.
No, I'm glad they cleaned it up. And they then, again, we get that. Yes, I'm not a huge fan of the extreme left. You know, I have zero problem with liberals. I think I would never want an all Republican government. I think. Careful what I ask for, but I like the check and balance. I like the yin and yang. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
But then you get these, I'm going to do air quote, individuals. And you know what I add when I say air quotes, Tom? Yes. Democrat Veronica Escobar said, this law will increase gun violence like the El Paso and Midland massacres. Veronica, is it? Middle name Karen? No. No, it won't, Tom. Really? It won't. And I'm going to present this really quick, and then you let me know what you think.
I will.
This could stop those things. This could not from happening. This could stop them in their tracks. And you know where I'm going. This could end those situations quickly if more people were armed. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
No, tell me if I'm right. I think you're right, but we've talked about reasons, you know, training, experience, and having the mindset and all that stuff. Yes, that has to be taken into consideration, but yeah, for sure.
Okay.
You're right.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Tom, for your, Okay, I guess we're moving along then. Anyway, I'm just harassing him. Yeah, so it's a good deal, Governor Abbott. We weren't sure how that was going to play out, but I'm glad they did refine it. And I hope it works out well. I hope it works out well, because you know how something starts in one state, it kind of gets filtered around the country. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
Our next thing is the MSM.
Okay.
We kind of talked about that a little bit a few minutes ago, but our show was about mainstream media and how it's affecting the vibe in the country.
Right.
So I made a note last night. I was looking this up, and the mainstream media is changing their tune slightly.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So I have noticed that they have, and you know, I've seen some clips, CNN, MSNBC, which their ratings are in the toilet without a certain president. They nobody watches them. You know what I mean by nobody. Ratings are way down, but they have started to become a little critical of this administration, which is even for them to say.
I have seen that.
Even for them to say a tiny remark, and our contributor at large, Neil Rossow, he did post something, and it was an MSM post where they were being critical of Biden and the entire Democratic Party. They didn't slam him, but they gave him that like backhanded, almost a compliment, but they said, you know, you're an idiot without saying you're an idiot. So they are changing their tune a little bit. And this, I thought this was interesting, Tom. I was helping Junior out with some American history homework. And we looked up a term called yellow journalism.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, this is way back in history. It's not what you think. So I dive into it, and basically, yellow journalism, for those of our listeners, including myself that didn't know before I looked it up, it's about the media. Back in the day, it was just journalists, you know, newspaper, things like that. But media, painting pictures that necessarily aren't there just to sell news, just to inflame the nation. And this whole thing was in this part of the book about the Spanish-American War. And literally, it was either, I can't remember if it was Pulitzer or Hearst, the big newspaper moguls back then, sent a reporter down to Cuba and said, document what's going on between the Spanish and us. And he wrote back and said, I really don't think a war is imminent with Spain. And it was either Hearst or Pulitzer just sent a message back saying, get me the pictures, I'll provide the war. Guess what? Okay. We went to war with Spain, Tom. So that's yellow journalism. And it never really ended. We had a brief time there for a while when the media would do at least the minimal amount to make sure their facts were credible. And then, you know, I think it was under Obama sometime that kind of went out the window. But yeah, so I thought it was an interesting thing. But the MSM is changing their tune. And I think that goes along with that reboot that we were kind of thinking is going to be happening here very shortly.
I think so too.
Yep. Vaccine mandates, Tom.
Yes.
We've got,
I had a little discussion with my junior as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So the update, we did vaccine mandate. Is it putting your public safety at risk? And it is. Like we said in the show, they are letting officers and firefighters go. They are literally saying, mm-hmm. don't show up for work and you're going to be on unpaid leave until you bend to our will. So there's some lawsuits going, and I want to just touch on those quick because I do have a full page of notes, and I think that might beat it up a little too much. So one vaccine mandate thing that really, really, really irks me is that Congress and the post office are exempt from being required to get the vaccine. I think it's ridiculous. Just for thee, not for me. Not good. That's not how the government's supposed to work. What do you think?
Yes. Well, I did look at that, and I thought I don't have my notes in front of me. Where's the crinkled paper?
Oh yeah, there it is.
I don't have my notes in front of me, but I didn't think that was exactly true. I know.
Okay.
I'd have to look into that, but yes, I think it's if you're going to mandate it, shouldn't it be for everyone then? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's so many. If that's the way you feel, if you feel so strongly in it, yes, mm-hmm. everybody gets it. Oh wait, no, not White House people. No, not postal workers.
Well, no, it doesn't work at all, Tom. Like, you know what, you and I were the victim of it under Schneider here in Michigan, and then Obama as well when we lost a good portion of our healthcare benefits. Because we had to have this minimal amount that was mandated by law, but it didn't affect state employees or federal employees. So, for example, they kept their Blue Cross premium coverage, and we were forced to go to a very reduced policy because the law said so. Unless you're a state employee, politicians, or federal employees. It's ridiculous. So you can't do that. So if that's not the case, somebody look it up, email me, bill@copsdon'tlikedonuts.com, and tell me that I'm wrong, and then I will do an update for sure about that. So 20 states have filed lawsuits against Biden. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but 20 states have filed lawsuits. All branches of the service have filed lawsuits. Local, state, law enforcement agencies, firefighting agencies, they filed lawsuits. And I know you looked up New York, Tom, we'll talk about them. And the labor secretary, Marty Walsh, something like a douche, he said that OSHA has every right to mandate vaccines for everyone in the workplace.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but they say they want to follow the science. And the science is telling us that the vaccinated people are getting, I'm going to go on a limb and say, almost sicker than people who are not or who have natural immunity. We talked about Harvard. I think it kind of backs up those stats. So I'm comfortable in saying that. But I think, again, like
I'm comfortable in saying it doesn't work. I don't know about sicker. I don't know about not as sick. I know that it just doesn't work. I know OSHA or the federal government or any state government should not tell everyone what to do or what to put into their bodies.
Exactly. All right. Amen to that. So New York Police Union have sued to stop the mandate. So they did the judge put a stop to the deadline, but he did not put a stop to the mandate. So that's still to be decided yet.
Yes.
And
they have to get at least one dose of the COVID vaccine or face unpaid leave.
Yeah. So de Blasio said there will be no more testing allowed as an option.
Not as an
option. Yeah. See you later, Bill. But they are going to be granting religious and medical exemptions.
Which is funny because I believe there's, again, Don't quote me, but I believe there's something like 10,000, and this probably is New York City workers, not police, fire, sanitation workers, but all police or all city workers. I think there's like 10,000 that have applied for this religious and other exemption, and those still have to be decided. So it's a mess, like you were saying.
The 10,000. Yeah, exactly. That does not mean he's going to grant 10,000. He just said they're going to begin again to start evaluating applications for that. So I don't know how many they're going to grant. So that's ongoing. Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot's going back and forth. Now, the vaccine mandate was just upheld by a Cook County judge. This just happened. I wrote it down on, I think, the 30th or something. So at the end of October, a judge did uphold it. But the Cook County Judge Mitchell, he did get rid of the December 31st deadline, and he ordered both parties, being the police and fire unions, the city worker unions, and the city, back to the bargaining table to get this worked out. And Lightfoot was quoted as saying, there is no reason officers shouldn't get a safe, free vaccine. And I beg to differ. It may be free, but someone's paying for it. Okay. But I have to disagree with safe, Tom. When you can go on the VAERS website, which is the Vaccine Reaction Reporting System, whatever, something like that. It's a government website. And when you look at the amount of side effects and deaths from this thing, it those are the facts. It's no joke. I cannot say it's safe. I'm not the doctor. I can only go by what data they've presented that we can see. And it does not look safe to me. So,
yeah, there you go. And then we're going to get some boosters too. So that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, follow the science. But then I think it's the FDA or the CDC told Biden, we don't need boosters. And he said, what? Yeah. He said, get boosters. No, they didn't, Biden. Go back to sleep. They said, we don't need boosters. And he's now they want to push boosters. So I don't know what this stuff is that, again, look outside here. If you guys can see me on my camera, I'm looking for black helicopters. But I don't know what the big picture of this. I don't know why they're pushing this stuff on people. They want it in people's bodies so badly when it obviously is not as effective against the virus. Is that safe to say? As effective as they think it would be. And, you know, even out of Biden's mouth, that people who are vaccinated can still get it. And now they become super spreaders. Because they don't even know they have it. So, yeah, great vaccine. So, I think our last one, Tom, was our show on the silent killer of police departments. And you had talked about recruiting and retention and things like that just a few seconds ago. And that was a show basically on morale.
Yes.
I wish I had better news about morale, even though some departments are starting to put the money back into the police where it should be. It's still a long road to get back. I think morale is still down, though. They did a survey, and the survey shows that there's been a 45% increase in retirements.
Interesting.
Okay. You say, well, 45%, you know, they just retired. But, Tom, you know yourself, hiring goes in waves.
True, yeah.
Okay, so it would not be, this is just the end of a wave. It's not that big. You know, they'll hire 200 or 300 in a 40,000 officer department and in these waves. So when those go, that's not 45%. People are retiring that could have stayed in the job, and they're retiring. They already have their full time on. These are highly experienced. They know the job inside and out, and we're losing them because, not all of them, but I dare to say most of them, because of morale. And here's how I know this. In the same survey, straight up resignations, Tom, are up 20%
that's crazy.
2020 over the last year, just from last year.
Right.
And that a resignation, you're walking away. You don't have a pension built up. You don't have anything really saved up, and you have to go start somewhere else all over again. So those are a big deal. Now, the 20%, some are just going to leave. You know, we had the young one from our place, and he took off and said, it's just not for me. I love the job, But he said, and he said specifically, working with you and I, and we told him outright, you're going to miss birthdays, Christmases, softball games. Uh-huh. And he just said, I've got the one baby and another one on the way, and uh-huh. I'm not willing to do that. So he resigned. Now, of that 20%, mm-hmm. some of those are those situations, but not all of them, Tom. Mm-hmm. I'd say most of them are the ones that said, you know what? I'm out of here, man. This is not worth it anymore. And that was from the Police Executive Research Forum, and that is a nonprofit think tank. They did that survey. So I feel pretty confident with those numbers.
I always try to look for silver linings, and those are fairly grim, actually. But there are, and I haven't actually talked to you about this, but I have a buddy who just graduated the police academy, and they're still running police academies. Kids mm-hmm. are still graduating. They still are saying, yes, this is for me. So they're trying to fill those voids. They're trying to fill, mm-hmm. plug in those holes. So there is a silver lining. There's still some people out there who feel that they can do the job. So.
Oh, 100%. I'm sorry right. if I painted that in the wrong light. No. I was just getting at that the morale is down, but also we want to note that in our update, people mm-hmm. are speaking up and cities are saying, listen, we are going to build back our police department. That was mm-hmm. dumb of us to do it in the first place. They'll never admit that, but they're coming out and saying, oh, if that's what you vote for, I'll do what you want. And they're putting the money back where it should be. And again, just one caveat, you and I both, we have no problem if they want to keep the police budget the way it is, because those mm-hmm. officers, those men and women are needed, every last one of them. And if they want to add money and bring in their own social workers and psychiatrists and things to be on staff, I am all about it. Because Tom, like you and I have said a million times, you want to send them on a 1096, on a mental, send them. Most likely we have to go anyway, and I don't blame those people, but they should be handling that. So the folks that we have to deal with a lot of times on a daily basis have slipped through the cracks, and I think that'd be great if we could boost that up, but you can't take the money from the police department. You can't, period. People don't understand. We run at a zero balance budget. When at the end of the year, the department is at zero. And you know, you and I both have waited for things at the department. If I, you know, ordered stuff for my crew yeah. or the department needs things, and then you're ordering for the entire department, and you had to wait till the next budget day because there was
so funny, isn't
zero.
It?
Isn't it crazy? You're not mm-hmm. allowed to run a surplus. So when you take that dime away, it's you can't afford it. Or you take away that, you know, New York cut what, $1 billion out of the budget. Like, oh, what? People are mad at the police? Of course I'll cut $1 billion because I'm an idiot. So he did. Yeah. And now they're backpedaling and you gotta bring it back. So
right.
I hope those kind of, you know, updated the previous shows.
I think they did.
If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns on any of those, please feel free to reach out to us. I'm at bill@copsdontlikedonuts.com, and we have
Tom@copsdontlikedonuts.com, and hit up our main page, copsdontlikedonuts.com, and that's where mm-hmm. you can get our podcast. And if you like it, refer people and let them know what's going on and tell them to give us a listen. It's anywhere your podcasts are available. So give us a listen.
On all the,
forward it on to your friends.
All on the major socials, Instagram, Cops Don't Like Donuts, Twitter, Cops Don't Like DO1. I think you can still punch in Cops Don't Like Donuts, right, Tom? And it'll still bring up.
I think so. Sure.
Yeah, but our actual handle is Cops Don't Like DO number one. Mm-hmm. Give us a like and a follow and whatever else you guys do on those, you know, social things. Again, we're very close. We're working on getting out some little benefits for being members of our Facebook group and page and our Instagram, some discounts at local businesses and hopefully some international chains as well. So we're still working on that. Awesome. Should be coming out pretty soon. And we are also just contacted Nate up there at Grazel Graphics again today. So hopefully there should be some merch coming out very soon. You'll find that on our website. So with all that being said, Tom, you know what time it is.
Oh, I was not expecting this. I thought this was just a little update show. I thought we were just going to click on some updates. This is a full-fledged show.
This is Tommy's favorite part. So
I'm ready.
Today's Michigan fun fact, again, is being brought to us by Tommy at ABC Warehouse. 45 locations in 3 states. But if you're in the Southeast Michigan area, stop in and see Tommy, our favorite salesman, at the Roseville location. Mention the show and get a free gift with every purchase. Thank you, Tommy. Okay. So this goes to our public safety announcement coming up. So I picked this one.
Oh, okay.
The Detroit Zoo. Actually, it's a really good zoo, actually. I can't knock it. It's beautiful. The Detroit Zoo was the first zoo to feature cageless, open exhibits that allowed the animals more freedom to roam in the entire country.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, yeah. Kangaroos. You can walk through kangaroos, a little kangaroo area, and they're just hopping around. It's pretty hilarious, actually.
No, so I thought it was pretty cool.
The
first one had this of the entire country. So take that, San Diego losers. So, all right. And then here we go.
Oh, a double banger.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Public safety announcement for today.
Okay.
I went with the animal one again because I had the Detroit Zoo fun fact. So public safety announcement. Just try to keep you... Just to keep our listener base safe, if you are ever attacked by a bear, play dead. Oh, it will be good practice when you die in a couple of minutes.
Boo! Boo!
All right.
I like the hippo one. Triathlon.
That was good.
Get on your bike.
There was a good one. I didn't know how to work it in, but we did the hippo one last week, and I looked it up. And this gentleman, he rescued a hippo. He lived over in Africa. He rescued this little baby hippo. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, that poor guy. Thing, my hippo. Yeah. And then 6 years into it, it drug him into the water and ate him. So
there kind of like what hippos do. Yeah.
yeah. On a daily basis. He was shocked when it happened too. Anyway, no good deed goes unpunished. Tom, I think it's been a good one. I hope everybody enjoyed the updates. Did you have anything else for him? Because I don't.
See ya.
Boom.
That's so funny.